Welcome to Maseches Baba Basra, Perek Yud, Mishnah Zayin, Chapter 10, Mishnah 7, Part 2. We were discussing a situation where you have two people in town that have exactly the same name. Their name is Yosef ben Shimon. And because of that, it makes a lot of complications, because if, let's say, a shtar comes up, the fellow could maybe say it's from the other Yosef ben Shimon, it's already paid up. So what do you do? Kay says the Mishnah, Ketzad Yathu. What does a person do in order to ensure that there isn't this confusion and to make sure that when they write a document, it has some credibility and validity? Says the Mishnah, Yishaleshu. Simple. Don't just write your name Yosef, your father's name Shimon. Also write a third generation, Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, or something like that. Vimhayu Mishulashim. Let's say the two people in town had three generations of the same name. They were both Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. Yichtavu Simon. So then write Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, the tall one, the darker one, the lighter one, etc. Vimhayu Misumanim. Let's say they literally looked the same. They were the same height, the same stature, the same complexion. Yichtavu Kayin. Then if one of them is a Kayin, write Kayin. And the Gemara says, and let's say they both were Kohanim, so it's not likely that they have three or four generations of exactly the same name and the same, you know, complexion and everything about them. Figure out something that's different amongst them. Ha'imil ibn Ayfafel says, at the time of his death, he turns to his son and he says, Shtar ben Shadarisa Parua. I have a whole bunch of loan documents that still need collecting. One of them, amongst them, was already paid. And I don't know which one. That means to say, one of the fellows that paid me back said, hey, you could keep the shtar, don't worry, I'm not concerned you're going to collect again. So, and the guy's concerned, he says, I don't know what to do now. I can't collect because maybe I'm collecting from someone who already paid. Says the Mishnah, halachically, shtar es kulam peruin. Halachically, it's considered as if each one was already paid back. That means every borrower could say, perua, I was the one that paid, and there's no way to prove any other way. However, says the Mishnah, nimtza le'echad shom shnayim, let's say there's two loan documents for one individual, one borrower, hagadol perua. Then we say the larger one is paid back, but the smaller one, at least you can collect, because there was only one that was paid back, and this guy clearly owes you two loans. But the smaller one, we say, was not paid back, and therefore he has to pay that back. Continues the Mishnah, let's say a fellow lends his friend money, and he also makes an arev sign the document, or a separate document, that arev is a guarantor. Says the Mishnah, the lender cannot go to the RA first, to the guarantor first, and say, pay me back, until he goes to the loiv, until he goes to the borrower and says, pay me. If the borrower says, I have no money, then he could go to the RA, then he could go to the guarantor. Vimamar, let's say the lender says, Amanasha Ephraim Mimisha Erza. Let's say he makes a condition at the time of the loan that he could go and collect from whichever one he wants, whether it's the borrower or the guarantor. Then Yipara Mina Arev. Now, Lachaz, he can also go to the guarantor and ask him to pay, even if perhaps the loiva could pay as well. And then the guarantor goes to the loiva, goes to the borrower, and says, hey, I paid for you, pay me. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, yesh nechasim loiva, let's say the borrower has property, benkach ubenkach, regardless of what they wrote or they spoke or they agreed upon at the time of the loan pertaining to the guarantor, whether you could go to him first or not, or if you have no right to go to the guarantor first, you have to go to his property and take it, and only if there isn't his property, has nothing to pay, then you go to the Arev, you go to the guarantor. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel used to say, Ha'arev le'isha b'ksubasa, someone that accepted upon himself to pay back a woman's kesuba, let's say her husband doesn't have money to pay, via Baila Magasha, and now her husband divorces her and says he has no money to pay the ksuba, and therefore the Arev, the guarantor, should pay the ksuba. Yadirena hana, the Arev, the guarantor, doesn't have to pay until the husband makes a neder, a vow, that prohibits his wife to derive any benefit from him. Why? So that there shouldn't be a kenunya here. There shouldn't be some type of evil scheme, says the Mishnah. Shema yaso, because maybe the husband and his ex-wife will make a kenunya. They'll make some type of scheme here. Al nechasim shelzeh, pertaining to the property that belongs to the arev, to the guarantor. So basically what they'll say is like this. You're gonna divorce me, and then I'm gonna come and claim the ksuba from you. And I'm gonna say I don't have anything, and then you're gonna go to the Arev, and then the two of us will derive it. The Yachzir is Ishtai. And then once they have the money for the ksuba, he'll go and he'll remarry his former wife and say, oh, we reconciled, and now it will come out that they both gain the money of the ksuba, and together they enjoy it. Says the Mishnah that unless a neder, a vow is made that prohibits them to have benefit from one another, so they can never get remarried. We're chayshish, we suspect maybe there's this kenunya, there's this little scheme taking place, and you cannot collect the money from the arev, the ksuba money from the guarantor, until this is taken care of. Wishing you an amazing day and a wonderful rest of your week.